Hello, and welcome to another episode of Film Favorites. My name is Bryce Bales, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Aaron Chase.
Hey, Bryce.
Hello, Aaron. Well, Aaron, another day, another episode of Film Favorites.
Yes.
Where we're counting down my top 500 favorite films of all time.
Yes, we are, Bryce.
Isn't that grand?
It is grand. The last episode wasn't Stalker, was it?
No, it was Amelie.
That's right, yeah.
The one that you found quite pleasant.
I did.
You were in a good mood afterwards.
I was. Yeah. I hope today brings...
Eh.
All right. So, you want to just get into it?
Let's get into it. Here we go, counting down my top 500 favorite, not best, but favorite films of all time. Today, we're starting out with my number 439th favorite film
of all time. We're getting there.
We're getting there. We're getting to the end of season one.
Yeah.
Which feels good.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. It's our first chunk, almost done.
Getting there.
Hey-yo. All right. Well, number 439, director Michael Mann's second time appearing on this list, his 1986 film, Manhunter.
Did he also make Thief?
He did make Thief.
Okay. Well.
But Thief is my least favorite Michael Mann film.
What is that?
That I've seen. I haven't seen all of his
films. What is Manhunter about?
Manhunter, this I think will be of some interest to you.
It is the 80s.
It is the 80s. Yeah. This was actually, I believe, originally a film that was made for television.
Mm-hmm.
But was better than that. And so they're like, all right.
Rated R?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It is an adaptation of Thomas Harris's novel Red Dragon, which is the first Hannibal Lecter book.
Oh.
This is the first film to feature Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, really?
Yes. Before Silence of the Lambs, before Anthony Hopkins, this...
I've heard of this. This has Edward Norton in it?
No.
I'm thinking of something else.
You were thinking of Red Dragon.
God damn it.
Which
okay.
is another adaptation of... Well, of right. Red Dragon, which this is an adaptation of that book. That one stars Edward Norton and Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter.
So someone's playing Hannibal Lecter, but it's not Anthony Hopkins.
No, it was before he...
Took over that role and became Hannibal Lecter.
Well, this isn't like a prequel or anything to Silence of the Lambs. This is just an independent book.
Right.
Movie based on the book Red Dragon. Silence of the Lambs was a completely separate production. It has no relation to this besides being based on a book in the same series.
What puts it so low on the list?
It's very 80s. Love it or hate it. I feel... I read the book before I saw the movie, and it's in most ways, I would say the superior adaptation of Red Dragon relative to the Edward Norton film. But it's not a... I wouldn't call it a great adaptation. They made some changes that... Maybe it's just because I really liked the book... didn't gel with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's personal reasons kind of bumping it down. Like the ending is very different from the book, and I really like the ending in the book.
Okay.
But Brian Cox plays Hannibal Lecter, and he does a great job. It's very different from Anthony Hopkins' portrayal. So it's easy to like not make a comparison because he's not doing the same Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
It's very much his own thing, and it's... Yes, Aaron is showing me a picture of Brian Cox to confirm, and that is him. Great character actor. I really like Brian Cox. Everything he's in.
Oh, I've seen him before.
Yeah, he's a great actor. I love Brian Cox, and he's great in this.
Okay.
And Hannibal Lecter's a supporting role in Red Dragon. He's not like a main antagonist like he is in Silence of the Lambs. But it also... Manhunter also stars William Peterson as the lead. He's the Edward Norton role, the main FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
Joan Allen in an early role for her. Mm-hmm. And Stephen Lang, who's sort of had a resurgence the last few years. He was in Avatar, which was... He was like the main bad guy, the military guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that. He's been everywhere.
He's been everywhere. And he had a big resurgence after Avatar. But this is... he's in this. He plays a great role that Philip Seymour Hoffman had in the Red Dragon. In the movie Red Dragon. But it's a good cast.
Okay.
Very 80s with its style. Very Michael Mann 80s. Colorful.
Yeah.
And bold and bloody. And the music is very 80s. But it's a good adaptation. It's Yeah, I mean,
because on the personal, seems like it's a personal thing.
Personal thing was why it's a little bit lower. I don't think, I mean, separated from like my personal feelings, I don't think it's as good as like Silence of the Lambs or anything like that. Its low budget is kind of apparent, and it's big and bold. Michael Mann is just not my favorite Michael Mann. Mm-hmm. I like it when he scales back a little bit. He has a couple films that are very high on my list. There's a couple of Michael Mann movies I love, and this isn't one of them. I do like it, though. It's a good movie, and it's interesting because it's the first Hannibal Lecter film. It's a neat little footnote.
Right now, I'm very neutral. I'm totally willing to watch that, and I'm not excited, nor am I concerned.
Fair. I'd be very surprised if you liked it less than Thief.
If I liked it less than... I didn't like Thief.
No, you did
not. So if I disliked it more than Thief, I would be very upset.
I'm saying I would be surprised if that were the case. I think you would like this more than Thief.
I guess we'll find out, maybe.
I like it more than Thief.
As it should be.
As it should be. All right, moving on from that film that you have no opinion on, my number 438th favorite film of all time, director, and I'm going to butcher this, Yimyo... Yimyo? No,
yep.
It's definitely not it. Yimou Zhang.
Okay.
Is a Chinese director.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow. His 2018 film, Shadow.
2018?
Yes.
Okay.
He is a director who recently has been known for his sort of romanticized martial arts films. So big, sweeping drama... martial arts films. Before that, I think his first one was Hero, which is very good. He made drama films, not martial arts films, but just like dramas, romances, things like that. And he made the switch over, I think, very successfully. This is, I believe it's his latest one. It's the last one I've seen by him. It's not my favorite. I have one more I like quite a bit more. It's higher up on my list. But it is striking visually. It is... almost monochromatic, almost black and white.
Oh.
It's not. It's not like Sin City where it's like black and white, but there's like spurts of color. It's just very, very desaturated.
Hmm.
So you can see like hints of color in things, but it's virtually black and white. It's that desaturated. So it has a very interesting look to it. And the martial arts scenes... are few and far between, but they are very memorable.
I like that.
I like it, too. I like it, too. I went in thinking it was going to be like some of his other films, which were very martial arts heavy, like lots of scenes back to back to back. He does it well, so I would not have minded that. But I think he hit an interesting balance. I don't think as many people liked Shadow because of that. They were expecting this big martial arts movie, and there is... big martial arts moments, but they're moments instead of like the whole film. It's really like a King's Court drama kind of a thing. So like backstabbing and like vying for power and positions.
Is it in Chinese or is it in English?
It is a Chinese film. It's in Chinese.
Okay.
You would have to read subtitles.
You know, I don't have a problem with that.
I know, but you have to mentally prepare, you say.
Okay, yeah.
So
that's
I'm
fair.
Telling you.
All right.
If you have to mentally prepare, it means there's something about it.
Fair enough. There's something
about it. So I'm telling you.
There's something about
that. You would have to read subtitles. There's some fine performances in it. It's some people compared it to like Game of Thrones with like that style of like vying for power and backstabbing and like all for position. I wouldn't say it's that, but it's got elements of that.
Right now, surprisingly enough, I'm leaning towards that only because I haven't watched an Asian film yet.
You have not. I have a thought. I'll mention it after you pick the film that we're going to watch.
Okay.
But no, we have not watched an Asian film, although you will have plenty of opportunities in the future.
Okay.
I have quite a few. There's a couple Chinese films, quite a few Japanese films, and quite a few Korean films. We already hit on a Mongolian film that we didn't watch. But yeah, there's quite a few in the future.
So I'll have that option again, just in case.
You will. Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you will. I am a fan of Asian cinema, and particularly, like, modern martial arts films.
I seem to like Korean.
I really like... like, Korean cinema, last couple decades, has been
Parasite?
Just stellar. Parasite is Korean, yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Bong Joon-ho is...
yeah, he's killer.
Bong Joon-ho films are going to show up on the list.
Oh, I believe it.
Most of his movies are on my list.
Good.
He's a fantastic filmmaker.
Yeah.
And so is, however you pronounce, Yimou Zhang.
Okay. I won't say it. Never mind. It's offensive.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving on.
Yep.
To my number 437th favorite film of all time, director Richard Moore's 2012 film, Wreck-It Ralph.
No. I've never seen it.
What?
I've never seen Wreck-It Ralph.
I am supremely surprised by that.
I wanted to see it, and then I can't remember what was 2012, so I was in college. Some dumb shit was going on, I'm sure, and I never got to see it. I've always wanted to see Wreck-It Ralph.
I am supremely surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have bet money that you had seen this.
Never seen Wreck-It Ralph.
Wow.
Yeah. I know that he... Okay. I'll make a guess. Tell me if where I'm wrong. Old school arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph is a antagonist mm-hmm. Within his video game, but he's a protagonist of the film.
Yeah.
There's other old school characters. They don't like him, and it's like a not coming of age, but like underdog. Or anti-hero. I don't know, but it's cute.
It's sort of like, you know, like bigotry against antagonists.
Right.
Is kind of what...
That's right. I remember the trailer. There's a bunch of bad guys, and they're all...
Yeah, like Villains Anonymous or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to watch that movie. We should talk about it a little bit, but I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph. I think it's a sweet film.
Yeah.
It's a little lower on my list than a lot of films. People said it kind of apes Toy Story.
Does it?
In a way... I think they were just, like, caught up on, like, they're toys versus video game characters, and they're real, and it's just, like surface-level stuff, kind of.
I'm gonna call bullshit on that without even seeing the movie. Only because, even from the trailer, it's a completely different...
Oh, it's completely different.
...thing. What
people it's completely different. The story is fine.
Yeah.
It's very basic, you know, like, oh, don't judge a book by its cover kind of a story. You've seen it a million times.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. It doesn't really add anything new to that kind of story, but it's nice. It's well made. I like the voice acting a lot. John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman.
John C. Reilly. What is he?
John C. Reilly. Great character actor. You probably know him best. He works with Will Ferrell a lot.
Oh, that guy?
Yes.
Yeah,
He plays Ralph, Wreck-It Ralph.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've seen any of his dramatic work, but he is a fantastic actor.
Was he in Chicago?
He was nominated for an Oscar for Chicago.
Yeah. John C. Reilly is fucking...
John C. Reilly is, I believe the kids say, legit?
Lit is now what they're saying.
Damn it!
I know.
Stop moving on me, kids.
I know. Yeah, I looked him up. Yeah, that guy is a fantastic actor.
He's great. I wish he picked more...
Good movies.
But he picks enough where I'm like, oh, cool. Another good John C. Reilly movie coming out.
I get the vibe that he wants to have fun and then every now and again do something that will make him not look like...
Artistically satisfying.
Yeah. Goes back and forth.
Yeah. You know what? I respect that.
Yeah.
You know, do what you enjoy doing, and I totally understand enjoy doing just silly films, having a good time, but also wanting to do something that you can sink your teeth into a little bit more. And he balances that well. But it stars him, Sarah Silverman, Alan Tudyk. I love him to death. Jane Lynch, Jack McBrayer. It's a good cast.
Mm.
They do a good job. So yeah, okay story, fun characters, fun animation, fun setting.
Yeah,
it's good.
I want to watch that.
You almost. Let me think. You almost watched, I believe, three foreign language films in a row on this podcast. Almost. You were this close. If you picked Shadow.
Oh, yeah. Would have been three. Would have been a three-peat.
Would have been.
I'm sure there'll be more.
Oh, there will be more. But, yeah. I thought that was going to be interesting because I would have bet money you'd seen Wreck-It Ralph. This seemed like your cup of tea.
It does. That's why I'm picking it because I...
It's about time, Aaron.
Yeah.
You know what? Remember when I said, it's an okay episode for you? I think it's going to be a pretty damn good episode for you now.
I'm excited.
I am too. Let's get boozed up and watch...
yep.
And watch director Richard Moore's 2012 film, Wreck-It Ralph. So, Aaron.
Yes, Bryce.
Tell me about Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph is a fun, lighthearted, animated adventure, I guess, where our main protagonist is an antagonist within his own world. He wants to be viewed as a protagonist, so he does what he can to make that happen. And through antics and shenanigans and mistakes and growth, he learns how to accept himself. And that's Wreck-It Ralph.
That's Wreck-It Ralph. That is a very good summation.
I enjoyed it very much. I'll go on the negatives first, and I'll end on the positives.
Sure.
Negatives, and I think we talked about it a little bit during it, was the story could have been tighter.
Yeah.
Could have been a little more rewrites on the story. And a little more location change would have been appreciated. Mm-hmm. When I first started watching the film, I got excited because of the different places we were going. And I was like, oh, this is unique. I don't think I've seen video games presented in this way. But unfortunately, once we get to where Vanellope exists.
Sugar Rush.
Once we get to Sugar Rush, it pretty much stays in Sugar Rush.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's still a colorful and entertaining place. But I was excited to see the different worlds, mm-hmm. the different video games, how they played with those ideas. But those are my only complaints.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the film follows Ralph as he wants to prove himself as a good guy. He goes to this video game to earn a medal, be a hero, come back and be like, hey, look, guys, I'm cool. And we see a couple different video games that he goes to. He goes to the Tapper video game, which mm-hmm. is the pub, which is neat. Gets the medal. You know, he's going to all these different video games. Ends up in Sugar Rush, this candy world.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I agree with you. That's all really cool.
Yeah.
Seeing all these different eras and genres of video games and all these different characters. It's a really fun, neat world that they created in this sort of retro arcade.
Yeah.
All these video games are in this arcade. And we get to this candy, like Mario Kart style racing game.
Yep.
And we spend the rest of the movie in this candy Mario Kart
racing game.
And I agree. Once we get, like, it's neat. I like that location. But I feel like over half the film is set there.
Yeah.
And all the jokes before we get to Sugar Rush are sort of video game related.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get into Sugar Rush, they're just candy related.
Yeah.
Which, it makes sense for the world, but it's just kind of strange. All of a sudden, all of the humor, like, they could have set the world, like, the whole movie in this, like, Candyland.
Yeah.
And, like, 80% of the humor would have just translated, like, verbatim.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think what threw me off was in the beginning when they started going from place to place. I was like, oh, he's going to go to a lot of places.
Yeah, it's kind of this odyssey. All these different places and all these different trials and tribulations. Yeah. And he goes through all the trials and tribulations. It's just most of them are set in this one location.
But outside of that, I think what really makes this work are the characters.
Mm-hmm.
The characters and their dynamic with each other was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Wow. I would say brilliant in that, especially for 2012. Like, I know that sounds strange.
Back when we were Neanderthals and we didn't know what good storytelling was. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, for example, the dynamic between the military lady, Jane Lynch,
mm-hmm.
and Fix-It Felix. Like
Jack McBrayer.
Yeah, that guy. that dynamic, I don't think, in 2012, I don't think that was a normal thing to see.
Two video game characters hooking up? What?
No, just that those type of video game characters coming together. Like in a... Oh, I'm going to get all SJW. I'm sorry, Bryce.
No, go for it.
But in... I would say the average film that has that... Those characters try to be romantic, it's... Fix-It Felix is being a pussy. Being... pussy. But Fix-It Felix is, Fix-It Felix. Oh, I got more to say on him, by the way. It would have in a regular film of 2012, that Jane Lynch character would not have been with this character, and vice versa. Like, this character would have had a crush, but it wouldn't have worked out. Or if it did work out, it would have been at the very end, and it would have been like, he saved her. All right, they're in love now. But you see this progression.
I don't know if I'd call that progression necessarily, like, strange for 2012. I mean, it's a good character progression. That should just be how characters progress. And that is how good characters progress. I wouldn't necessarily call it out as strange for 2012.
From my memories of it, it was. But regardless, I liked it. I liked that. Yeah. My point is, regardless of my nonsense, my point is that I liked it. I liked that Fix-It Felix wasn't an asshole.
No. I mean, he had some negative character attributes, which is good. You want that from a protagonist. You don't want your protagonist to be a Fix-It Felix, just a perfect guy. He makes a great side character.
He just was, in a movie like this, and I know we talked about it already, but in a movie like this, you would expect, because our protagonist
is an antagonist in his own story, you'd think that the protagonist reverse, right. of the story of their story would be the antagonist of the overall story. I agree. That's what I expected when I first walked into this. Like, oh, Fix-It Felix, the good guy, quote unquote, is going to be like the bad guy, or if not the bad guy, at least an asshole, secondary antagonist.
He is the exact opposite of an asshole.
It's a good guy through and through.
100%. And in not in an annoying way.
No.
There's something about him that's very charming and likable.
It's very endearing. Jack McBrayer does a good job of being endearing. I know you haven't seen 30 Rock, but that's basically his character. That's Kenneth the Page. He's just, oh God, you gotta love Kenneth.
Everyone loves Kenneth. And then the dynamic between Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope, I really loved that.
I think you mentioned it while we were watching. I thought she was annoying at first. I thought so too. I thought, oh, this is going to get grating. Because early on, I'm not a huge Sarah Silverman fan, generally speaking. I like some of her stuff, but you're endeared towards her.
Over time.
As the movie goes on. Yeah, she starts out
fucking irritating to me.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
But we get to know her.
Yeah.
And she's a sweet character. She's got her quirks, and that's why we love her.
I think part of what makes that is Sarah Silverman's voice acting. There's something about that voice. And I know she was a grown woman when she made this movie, or was a part of it. But she was able to do something with her voice. It reminded me of the Rugrats.
She voice acted.
Yeah, she voice acted. But I know Sarah Silverman, this has been so long. This is weird because it's been so long since 2012. But
8 years.
8 long years. But Sarah Silverman, from what I know her as a comedian, I'm shocked she was in a Disney movie.
Yeah, this is not her normal
MO. No, not at all.
She is a
very dirty, a fucking offensive comic. So to see her in this film,
and still, and yet, slipping naturally.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like she was pulling her punches. I mean, obviously, this isn't the kind of humor that she would do in her stand-up, but she fills the role nicely.
She does. And Wreck-It Ralph killed it.
John C. Reilly.
Great. Super likable. I like that he didn't become something he wasn't, which I know is kind of the point of the whole film, but there's points where his intent, his need to wreck things, or his instinct to wreck things, was a detriment, and it was also a positive. And the same with Fix-It Felix. His inclination to fix things was a negative and a positive, and it just depended on the context. And them working together is how they succeeded. So it wasn't like a masterpiece or anything like that. It was just a fun, nice, lighthearted, entertaining movie.
I completely agree. I think why it falls on my list where it does. The story is dead simple.
Super simple.
You see 90% of the plot coming a mile away.
There's one part I didn't catch.
The twist. The twist. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Spoilers.
Spoilers for Wreck-It Ralph.
Turbo.
Yeah.
They kept bringing him up, and I was like, oh, they'll explain that. And then as soon as they explained it, I was like, all right, we're done with Turbo. And then when Turbo came back, I was like, oh, shit.
They keep messing with Turbo a little bit. I think I mentioned it while we were watching it. Like, they talk about from the beginning of the film, like, going turbo? You go in turbo? Like, it's become like a a phrase that's used, like if you leave your video game and try to
fuck
influence,
with yeah,
fuck with someone else's game, it's going turbo. Following this character Turbo from this game that was getting unplugged, it's nice. They don't just like spill that at the very beginning.
Right.
Like that would just feel like a setup.
Yeah.
That you expect. And again, the movie's dead obvious with what it's trying to do. At least they weren't trying to be dead obvious with that. It makes for a relatively successful twist when the bad guy of the movie turns out to be Turbo.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a nice twist for a simple movie.
Yeah. There's not much to say other than what we've just said about it. I would say that anybody could watch it. Anybody, if you're a film person, if you're just a popcorn movie person, if you have kids, if you don't have kids, it really is one of those cross the board.
Going with the right expectations.
Yep.
You know, not a great film, but a fun, it's just a good time.
Also, nothing like Toy Story. I don't know where the fuck people are getting that from.
Oh, yeah, again, like you said so at the beginning, surface level, we're these toys, video games, all the people are gone, now we can be ourselves.
Yeah, other than
that's
that.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the only...
That is it.
So yeah, I guess I'm sorry I don't have much else to say other than I think people should watch it.
Okay.
And I think it made pretty well at the box office. I don't even think I need to suggest it. I think people have already seen it.
No, I haven't seen the sequel. I have not heard great things about it. Can't comment on that, but the original, I like it. I think it's good. It's on my list.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
I think that if the next episode is going to be rough, I'm okay with that.
We've had a couple of nice movies in a row.
Are we checking right now?
I'm checking. I'm going to look just to see. Let me see.
I'm in for a doozies.
Nah, you're good.
Cool.
Next episode after that, good. Good, good, good. We're good. We're good. We're golden. Oh, God, yeah.
No more poteps.
I think you're good. You're at the very least fine for the foreseeable future.
That's good to hear. Yeah. I think as this goes on, what's nice about the format of this is as it goes on, I think it'll be easier because the movies will not be as terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. You got shitty movies in my top 500.
Fucking thief! What else? What's another one that I hated?
Potop.
But there's some other one. I can't even remember it. There was a stuntman.
Oh, the stuntman.
Okay, the stuntman. The hospital.
Oh, hospital was good, man.
All right.
The hospital was good. Or did you see Scott in that?
Yeah, okay.
Great performance.
But I'm excited to move forward.
I'm glad you're excited. I'm excited too. Let's ride this high, Aaron. Ride this high in the next episode, which is that's when I'll see you next. Until next time, Aaron.
Until next time, dude.
This has been a Buddy System presentation of Film Favorites.